Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. I am experimenting with a little different setup this morning, so I hope everything is coming through as clear as can be on your end. How about some light on the subject? All right. Good morning. Good to be with you on this Wednesday morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and we're reminded this morning that God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And that among his great gifts, he gives us a minor but enjoyable one, is good coffee. I hope you're doing well this morning, and I hope you're ready for our study in 1 John chapter 2. We are coming up on one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture this morning. And I apologize for any miscommunications. Apparently, I said 9 a.m. on the Facebook page. Oops, I meant 8:30. It's always 8:30, right? Trying something different. Trying to run this live stream a little different way, and hoping it works. It works well. All right, let's pray, and then we'll dig into our wonderful text. 1 John 3:2 is the kind of the centerpiece of today's passage that we'll be focusing our hearts on, but we want to get the context so that we understand it rightly and we can be encouraged and comforted and challenged and changed by God's word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is living and active. We thank you for how your written word points us to the word made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is our hope today and forever. He is our joy. He is our strength. He is our righteousness and our peace and our wisdom. So, Father, would you write your word on our hearts, and would you put Christ more deeply in our hearts by your Spirit through your word this morning? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here's our passage this morning, 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. To chapter 3, verse 3. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So this is our passage this morning, and we can see that it has to do with the appearance, the revealing, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26 says, when he appears. And verse 2 of chapter 3 says, when he appears. And so that identifies what we're talking about here, that repetition. We're talking about when Jesus comes again, what will it be like, and how should that influence the way that we live today? So let's break this down into its two halves, really, where that chapter division, the original letter, sermon, didn't have any chapter divisions. John didn't sit down and say, this will be chapter 1, verse 1. This will be chapter 3, verse 1. No, he didn't do that. So this is really just one section of his message to the church, to us, but we'll look at it in two halves. So now, little children, abide in him. You remember that last time we were talking about how we want to have, we want to let that which was from the beginning, I disappeared. We want to have that which was from the beginning abide in us, right? What you heard from the beginning, let it abide in you. And we talked about how this is the gospel, right? The gospel needs to abide in us, right? Because we've heard it from the beginning. And if the gospel abides in us, that's what we've heard from the beginning. If the gospel abides in us, we will abide in the Son and in the Father, and we have this promise of eternal life. So that's what we're picking up on. So now, little children, abide in him. So how do we abide in him? By allowing his gospel, his truth, to continue to abide in us. So we need to know the gospel. We need to treasure the gospel. We need to worship Christ, who is the substance of the gospel, and have our hearts affectionately set upon him. And if we are abiding in him, there's a promise that when he appears, we will have confidence. And we will not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Think about that. Jesus is going to come again from heaven. The sky will be torn open, rolled back like a scroll. It will be seen from east to west. Jesus will come again in power and in glory. And there will be those, many, many of those, who shrink from him in shame at his coming because they denied him, they hated him, they resisted him, they ran from him, they disbelieved him, they refused him, they persecuted his people, and they will be ashamed now because they will see at that moment how wrong they were and how right Jesus is. They will see how beautiful Jesus is and how powerful Jesus is and how wonderful Jesus is, and they will shrink from him in shame. And we don't want to be one of those people, do we? We don't want to be shrinking in shame from Jesus when he comes. But if Jesus is going to come again and he's pure and holy and righteous and coming to judge, how is it that we can have confidence to not shrink from such a one as this, from such a one who is holier than we could ever imagine, more beautiful and pure than we could ever imagine, more radiant in splendor and awesome holiness and power to judge, to pierce and to penetrate and to see? How is it that we can not shrink from him in shame? Because we're abiding in him. And if we're abiding in him, the promise that we're given is that when he appears, we'll be like him. We'll get there in just a minute. But if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So it's abiding in him, trusting in him, loving him. And then as we trust in him and love him, we will in fact walk in the light as he is in the light. We will in fact practice righteousness. This is not a sinless perfectionism. This is not, you will never sin, you will never mess up, you will never give in to your, you know, sinful impulses, but you will practice righteousness. That is that you will imitate the one you love. And then see what kind of love the Father has given to us. How is it that we will not be able to not be shrinking back on that day? It's because of the love the Father has given to us. Not because of the love we've given to him, but the love he's given to us. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Jesus will be coming again for the children of God, for us. Not against us, but for us. And it's the love of God that has allowed us to be called the children of God, and so we are. Boy, those four little words, we need to believe that. God's given us such great love that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. Do you believe that? Do you believe that's who you are? You are a child of God if you believe in Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The world doesn't walk around and say, oh, look, there's one of God's children. Hey, you know, you're great. You're awesome, right? The world's just like, oh, these dumb Christian people and their silly beliefs. Well, why do they do that? Well, they rejected him, right? Jesus said, no servant is above his master. If they hated me, they're going to hate you too. But coming back to the truth, beloved, we are God's children now. It's so important that John repeats it. And so we are God's children now. This is the confidence. The confidence we have in Christ comes from the love the Father has given to us and what that love has made of us. We are God's children now. You may not feel that way every day because you're not yet purified and perfected, and there are still remnants of sin, and you still live in a fallen world, and you still struggle, but that's who you are. And what we will be has not yet appeared. We don't understand, we don't grasp, we can barely even imagine what God is going to make us into, what he's going to transform us to be. What we will be has not yet appeared. The reason why people have conflicting thoughts and emotions and ideas about heaven, and they think, well, will heaven really be heavenly? I don't know. Am I really sure? Is because we don't know what we will yet be. We don't understand how we will be so transformed by the coming of Jesus. And here's the promise. Here's what we know. We don't know what we will yet be like, but we know this. We know this, that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So going back, how is it that we can not shrink from him in shame at his coming? It is because when he appears, we shall be like him. Wait a minute, I just said he's going to be pure and awesome and holy, the perfect Son of God. We shall be like him. Not in his divine nature, of course. We won't become God, but we will become as perfect as the sinless Son of God, Jesus the Messiah, the man Christ Jesus, without spot or stain or wrinkle, is how Paul describes it in Ephesians 5. That's how he's going to present us. We're going to be purified, completely holy and righteous and pure. We will be like him. Boy, if there's anything we need to be reminded of on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, who are we? We are God's children now. Who do we belong to? The Father. The love of the Father has made us his own dear children. What are we going to be like? Where are we going? We will be like him. That's our destiny. Our identity, our position, and our destiny needs to shape everything about us. And that's what verse 3 is driving home. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who has this hope, everyone who knows, I am a child of God, and when he appears, I will be like him, for I will see him as he is. If you have that kind of hope anchoring your heart, then you should hate sin. You should want it out of your life. You should despise and reject the things of this world, the corruption, the lies, the deception, the animosity, the selfishness, the hatred, the fleshliness, all that stuff we talked about a couple times ago, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you should just say, Lord, drive that far away from me. That's not who I am, and that's not where I'm going. That's our hope. But we don't purify ourselves so that we might achieve this hope. We're given this hope, and then out of the strength that this hope gives us, we purify ourselves by his grace, by the same love that he's given to us, by the same truth that abides in us. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope you know that hope. I hope you know that hope for your soul. And if you don't know that hope, it really is as simple and as profound as saying to the Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I trust in Jesus. Help me to trust in Jesus. I know that he's my only salvation. Help me to cling to him. Turn your hearts to him if you don't know him. And if you do know him, be encouraged and strengthened. You know him because he loves you. And the love that saved you is the love that will keep you until that day when we're made like him. I can't wait for that day to be made like my Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for the hope that anchors our souls in a turbulent world. Oh, how we need you. Oh, how we long for you. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Help us to walk as children of God, as citizens of a heavenly kingdom, as pilgrims on our journey to our heavenly home, and help us to purify ourselves even as you are pure because of the hope you've given us in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll be back together, Lord willing, on Friday morning to continue walking through 1 John chapter 3. I hope you'll be with us, and I hope you'll have a blessed day in the Lord.